Beginning of the End, Chapter 14, The Sin of Sodom and Gomorrah. This chapter is based on Genesis chapter 19. Among the cities of the Jordan Valley, Sodom was like the garden of the Lord, Genesis chapter 13, verse 10, in its fruitfulness and beauty. Rich harvests clothed the fields, and flocks and herds covered the encircling hills all around. Art and commerce enriched the proud city, and the treasures of the east decorated her palaces. Caravans brought supplies of precious things to her markets, and with little thought or work, people could live comfortably there. Idleness and riches harden the heart that has never been troubled by poverty or burdened by sorrow. The people gave themselves up to fulfilling their sensual desires. This was the iniquity of your sister Sodom. She and her daughter had pride, fullness of food, and abundance of idleness. Neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and needy, and they were haughty and committed abomination before me. Therefore I took them away as I saw fit. Ezekiel chapter 16, verses 49 and 50. Satan is never more successful than when he comes to people in their idle hours. In Sodom there was laughter, partying, feasting, and drunkenness. The most evil passions were unrestrained. People openly defied God and His law and delighted in violence. Though they had the example of the pre-flood world and knew of their destruction, they followed the same course of wickedness. When Lot settled in Sodom, corruption had not become universal, and in mercy God permitted rays of light to shine amid the moral darkness. Abraham was not a stranger to the people of Sodom, and his victory over much stronger forces prompted wonder and admiration. No one could avoid the conviction that a divine power had made him conqueror. His noble and unselfish spirit, so strange to the self-seeking inhabitants of Sodom, was another evidence that the religion he had honored was superior. God was speaking to that people by His providence, but the last ray of light was rejected, as all before had been. Now the last night of Sodom was approaching, but no one was aware of it. While angels drew near on their mission of destruction, people were dreaming of prosperity and pleasure. The last day was like every other that had come and gone. A landscape of unsurpassed beauty was bathed in the rays of the setting sun. Pleasure-seeking crowds were going this way and that, intent on enjoying the hour. In the twilight, two strangers approached the city gate. No one saw them as the mighty heralds of divine judgment. The careless multitude little dreamed that in mistreating these heavenly messengers, that very night they would reach the pinnacle of guilt that doomed their city. Lot entertains angels unwittingly. But one man showed kindly attention toward the strangers and invited them to his home. Lot did not know their true character, but being polite and hospitable was a habit with him, a lesson he had learned from Abraham. If he had not cultivated a spirit of courtesy, he might have been left to perish with Sodom. Many a home has closed its doors against a stranger, and so has shut out God's messenger who would have brought blessing. God smiles on the humble, sincere acts of daily self-denial, performed with a cheerful, willing heart. Knowing how strangers were abused in Sodom, Lot made it one of his duties to guard them by offering them room at his own house. He was sitting at the gate as the travelers approached and rose from his place to meet them. Bowing courteously, he said, "Here now, my lords, please turn into your servant's house and spend the night." They seemed to decline, saying, "No, but we will spend the night in the open square." They had two reasons for answering this way: to test Lot's sincerity and to appear ignorant of the character of Sodom's inhabitants, as if they supposed it was safe to stay in the street at night. Lot urged his invitation until they yielded and went with him to his house. Their hesitation and his persistent urging drew attention, and before they went to bed for the night, a lawless crowd gathered around the house, a huge company, young and old men alike inflamed by the vilest passions. The strangers had been asking about the character of the city when the mob started hooting and jeering, demanding that the men be brought out to them. Lot went out to plead with them. "Please, my brethren," he said, "do not do so wickedly." He used the term brethren in the sense of neighbors, hoping to gain their goodwill. But their rage became like the roaring of a hurricane. They mocked Lot and threatened to deal worse with him than they had intended toward his guests. They would have torn him in pieces if he had not been rescued by the angels of God. The heavenly messengers reached out their hands and pulled Lot into the house with them and shut the door. They struck the men who were at the doorway of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they became weary trying to find the door. If they had not been afflicted with double blindness, being given up to hardness of heart, the stroke of God on them would have caused them to stop trying to do their evil work. That last night revealed no greater sins than many others before it, but mercy, so long ignored, had finally stopped pleading. The fires of God's vengeance were about to be kindled. The angels revealed to Lot the purpose of their mission. "We will destroy this place, because the outcry against them has grown great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord has sent us to destroy it." The strangers whom Lot had tried to protect now promised to protect him and all his family, who would flee with him from the wicked city. The mob had worn themselves out and left, and Lot went out to warn his children, "Get up, get out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city." But they laughed at what they called his superstitious fears. His daughters were influenced by their husbands, and they could see no sign of danger. They had great possessions and could not believe it possible that beautiful Sodom would be destroyed. Lot loses everything except his life. Lot returned sorrowfully to his home and reported that his appeal had failed. Then the angels told him to take his wife and two daughters who were still in the house and leave. But Lot delayed. He had no true concept of the debasing sins practiced in that wicked city, and he did not realize the terrible necessity for God's judgments to put a restraint on sin. Some of Lot's children clung to Sodom, and the thought of leaving those whom he held dearest on earth seemed more than he could bear. It was hard to forsake his luxurious home and all the wealth of his whole life to go out as a poor, homeless wanderer. Shocked with sorrow, he lingered. If it had not been for the angels, all of them would have perished. The heavenly messengers took him and his wife and daughters by the hand and led them out of the city. In all the cities of the plain, even 10 righteous persons had not been found. But in answer to Abraham's prayer, the one man who feared God was snatched from destruction. The command was given with startling intensity: "Escape for your life. Do not look behind you or stay anywhere in the plain. Escape to the mountains, lest you be destroyed." To cast one lingering look on the city, to delay for one moment from regret to leave so beautiful a home, would cost their life. The storm of divine judgment was only waiting so that these poor fugitives could escape. But Lot, confused and terrified, pleaded that he could not do what the two visitors had told him to do. Living in that wicked city, his faith had grown weak. The Prince of Heaven was by his side, yet he pleaded for his own life as though God, who had shown such love for him, would not still take care of him. He should have trusted himself entirely to the divine messenger. "See now, this city is near enough to flee to, and it is a little one. Please let me escape there. Is it not a little one? And my soul shall live." Zoar was only a few miles from Sodom, and like it, was corrupt and doomed to destruction. But Lot asked for it to be spared, urging that this was just a small request. His desire was granted. The Lord assured him, "I have favored you concerning this thing, also in that I will not overthrow this city for which you have spoken." Again the command was given to hurry, for the fiery storm would be delayed only a little longer. But one of the fugitives took a look backward to the doomed city, and she became a monument of God's judgment. If Lot himself had earnestly fled toward the mountains without one word of objection, his wife would have made her escape also. His example would have saved her from the sin that sealed her doom, but his reluctance caused her to regard the divine warning lightly. While her body was on the plain, her heart clung to Sodom, and she perished with it. She rebelled against God because his judgments involved her possessions and children in the ruin. She felt that God had dealt severely with her in requiring that the wealth that had taken years to accumulate be left to destruction. Instead of thankfully accepting deliverance, she looked back presumptuously, longing for the way of life of those who rejected the divine warning. There are Christians who say, "I don't want to be saved unless my companion and children are saved." They feel heaven would not be heaven without the presence of those who are so dear. But have those who cherish this feeling forgotten that they are bound by the strongest ties of love and loyalty to their Creator and Redeemer? Because our friends reject the Savior's love, shall we also turn away? Christ has paid an infinite price for our salvation, and no one who appreciates its value will despise God's mercy because others choose to do so. The fact that others ignore His claims should spur us on to be more diligent, that we may honor God and lead all whom we can to accept His love. Sodom destroyed. The sun had risen upon the earth when Lot entered Zoar. The bright rays of morning seemed to promise only prosperity and peace to the cities of the plain. The stir of active life began in the streets. People were going their various ways, intent on the business or pleasure of the day. The sons-in-law of Lot were making fun of the fears and warnings of the weak-minded old man. Suddenly and unexpectedly, as thunder from a cloudless sky, the storm broke. The Lord rained brimstone and fire on the cities and the plain, palaces and temples, costly homes, gardens, vineyards, and the pleasure-seeking crowds that only the night before had insulted the messengers of heaven. All were consumed. The smoke went up like a great furnace. The lovely valley of Siddim became a place never to be built up or inhabited, a witness to all generations that God's judgments on transgression are certain. There are greater sins than those for which Sodom and Gomorrah were destroyed. People who hear the gospel invitation calling to repentance and pay no attention are more guilty than the dwellers in the valley of Siddim. The fate of Sodom was a solemn warning, not merely to those guilty of defiant sin, but to all who do not take seriously their heaven-sent light and privileges. The Savior watches for a response to His offers of love and forgiveness with more tender compassion than that which moves the heart of an earthly parent to forgive a wayward child. "Return to Me, and I will return to you," Malachi chapter 3, verse 7. But anyone who persistently refuses that tender love will finally be left in darkness. The heart that has disrespectfully ignored God's mercy for a long time becomes hardened in sin, no longer able to respond to the influence of the grace of God. It will be more tolerable in the day of judgment for the cities of the plain than for those who have known the love of Christ and yet have turned away to the pleasure of sin. In the books of heaven, God keeps a record of the sins of nations, of families, of individuals. Calls to repentance, offers of pardon may be given, yet a time will come when the account will be full. The individual's decision has been made, and by his or her own choice, that person's destiny has been fixed. Then the signal will be given for judgment to be carried out. Another Sodom. In the religious world today, God's mercy has been taken for granted and treated lightly. Many people try to invalidate the law by teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. Matthew chapter 15, verse 9. Skepticism prevails in many churches, not skepticism in its broadest sense, an open denial of the Bible, but a skepticism undermining faith in the Bible as a revelation from God. Genuine devotion to God has been replaced by hollow formalism, and as a result, apostasy and immorality prevail. Christ declared, "As it was also in the days of Lot, even so will it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed." Luke chapter 17, verses 28 and 30. The world is quickly becoming ready for destruction. Our Savior said, "Take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and the cares of this life, and that day come on you unexpectedly. For it will come as a snare on all those who dwell on the face of the whole earth, all whose interests are centered in this world. Watch therefore and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man." Luke chapter 21, verses 34 to 36. Before the destruction of Sodom, God sent a message to Lot, "Escape for your life." The same voice of warning was heard before the destruction of Jerusalem. "When you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, then know that its destruction is near. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains." Luke chapter 21, verses 20 and 21. Rather than delay, they must quickly take the opportunity to escape. There was a coming out, a decided separation from the wicked, an escape for life. So it was in the days of Noah, Lot, and with the disciples before the destruction of Jerusalem, and so it will be in the last days. Again, the voice of God is heard, calling His people to separate from the widespread wickedness. The corruption and apostasy of the last days were presented to the prophet John in the vision of Babylon, that great city which reigns over the kings of the earth, Revelation chapter 17, verse 18. Before its destruction, the call from heaven is to be given. Come out of her, my people, lest you share in her sins, lest you receive of her plagues, Revelation chapter 18, verse 4. Just as in the days of Noah and Lot, there must be no compromise between God and the world, no turning back to get earthly treasures, see Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. People are dreaming of prosperity and peace. Many people exclaim peace and safety, while heaven declares that swift destruction is about to come on the transgressor. On the night before their destruction, the cities of the plain rioted in pleasure and laughed at the warnings of the messenger of God. But that very night, the door of mercy was forever closed to the careless inhabitants of Sodom. God will not always be mocked. The great majority of the world will reject God's mercy and will be overwhelmed in swift and final ruin. But those who hear and obey the warning will dwell in the secret place of the Most High and abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Psalm 91, verse 1. Lot did not live very long in Zoar. He saw that it was as wicked as Sodom and was afraid it too would be destroyed, so he soon moved to a cave in the mountains. Not long after, Zoar was consumed, as God had seen necessary. But the curse of Sodom followed Lot even to the mountains. The sinful conduct of his daughters was the result of evil associations in that vile place. Lot had chosen Sodom for its pleasure and profit, yet he had retained the fear of God in his heart. He was saved at last as a brand plucked from the fire, but without his possessions, mourning the loss of his wife and children, dwelling in caves, and covered with shame in his old age. And he gave to the world not a race of righteous people, but two idolatrous nations, opposing God and warring with his people, until when their cup of iniquity was full, they were destroyed. How terrible the results that followed one unwise step. Labor not to be rich, cease from thine own wisdom. He who is greedy for gain troubles his own house. Those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 4, King James Version, chapter 15, verse 27, and 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 9. When Lot entered Sodom, he fully intended to keep himself free from iniquity and command his household after him, but he failed. The result is there for us to see. Like Lot, many see their children ruined, and they barely save their own souls. Their life work is lost. Their life is a sad failure. If they had exercised true wisdom, their children might have had less worldly prosperity, but they would have made sure of a claim to the immortal inheritance. The heritage that God had promised is not in this world. Abraham dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise, for he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. We must live as pilgrims and strangers here if we intend to gain a better, that is, a heavenly country. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 9 and 10 and 16.